go. Good evening to everyone that's here. And first, I'd like to thank the leadership for allowing me the chance to come up here and teach you a little something about God's Word. If you like, I'd like you to go to Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through 38. Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through 38. I'll be reading from the King James Version. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said unto them, Repent, and baptize every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I know when most people read this scripture, this selected scripture here, they like to emphasize or have the highlight that this is the beginning of when 3,000 souls were converted over to Christ. But the one thing I want to emphasize here and is in verse 37, in the first part where it says, they were pricked in their hearts. And what I really want to emphasize is that the part about the heart, actually the heart of man. And we come to define that as an a heart. We kind of think of, oh, the human body part of the heart, the hollow muscle that contracts and dilates to actually pump the blood through the body. But when we think of the heart, we think of the fountain seat of thoughts that pass through the desires, appetites, affections, purposes, endeavors. There's sets it to the understanding, the faculty of seat of intelligence, the size of the wills and characters of people, and denotes the center of opposed physical and intellectual moral activities. And when you think of those comparisons, you kind of have to realize that through the heart, everything that we do and everything we think goes through our heart, as in the mind of the heart. So you have to kind of think that all the actions that we do, everything that we think, goes through our heart. And the function of the heart of the mind, we have to realize that it has the function of being emotionally, intellectually, and it actually dictates our conscience and our moral actions. In terms of emotion, you have to think about just the particular feelings we have through emotion, as in joy, anger, fear, love, and all sorts of emotion that are attuned to those things. And we find different examples of this in the Bible. Like, for instance, with joy in Mary, we have that in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 13. A merry heart maketh a countenance, but by sorrow of a heart the spirit is broken. And anger, we can find reference of in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 11. Therefore the heart of a king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants unto him, saying, Ye will not show me which is the king of Israel. And if we look into fear, we can see that when in the Old Testament, in Genesis chapter 42 and verse 28, where we have where the sons of Jacob were encountered by their brother Joseph after many years. And we can see when he came back, and they, in verse 28, you can hear it says, my money is restored, and lo, it is in my sack. Therein their heart failed them, and they were afraid, saying one to another, this is how God done unto us. And you can actually see how fear was installed into their hearts. And we move on to the point of intellect within the heart, which is the power or the faculty of the mind by which one knows, understands, and has distinguished, and by which one feels by one's will. Also, the faculty of thinking and acquiring knowledge, the understanding. And if we think about that, we can also have examples of that when people were thinking or reasoning, and it's not always in the greater or best way. We have examples of that in Mark 2, verse 8, where it says, immediately when Jesus perceived that the Spirit was so reasoned within them, he said unto them, why are reasoning these things in your heart? And in this selection, this comes up to a part where Jesus was actually very upset with these people because they were actually reasoning against him, actually trying in their hearts, thinking within their hearts of something evil or wrong to do. And then when you come down to the knowledge and understanding, we usually go to Proverbs for that. In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. It says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments to thee, so thou incline unto wisdom, apply thine heart unto understanding." And then when we move on to the moral and actions of your conscience, we have to kind of think about that, what I said earlier, that most of the things that we do or we think about, we have to go through the heart and actually through our moral conscience and our moral actions. And we can find teaching of this in Acts chapter 2, in Acts chapter 2 when they were pricked in their hearts. But if we move on to like 1 John chapter 3, verse 18 through 21, it says, My children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And seeing that, we have to kind of look at within ourselves and have the self-evaluation, saying that our hearts can be faulty at times. And that since we know that all these functions are through our heart, we have to be conscious that if our heart itself is faulty, that many of the things we do can be faulty as well. If you take a look at Mark chapter 7, verses 20 and 22, there we can find these verses. And he said, "That which cometh out of a man defileth the man. For within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil things, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile of man." So as we can see, just because our heart actually contains what we do and most of our actions that we proceed to do every day, since that's the core of our actions, and if that is faulted, many of the things we do will be faulted and it causes to sin. And we also have to be careful that we don't acquire the hardness of heart, which we find in Mark chapter 3, verse 1 through 6, where we have, when Jesus is actually having some interaction with some scribes as he walks into the synagogue. And what happens here is that they were actually sitting beside waiting for him to do something on the Sabbath. And in verse 5, you can actually see, and he says, "And when he had looked around about on them with anger and grievedness and had hardened their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch out thy hand, and he stretched it out, and his hand restored as the whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth, and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him." As you can see here, just because of the hardness of the scribe's heart, they actually had come up with plans to actually just wait and see what he would do on the Sabbath. And because of this, they actually were actually to the point where they wanted to destroy Jesus and take him out. And because we have the ability to have a fault in heart, we also need to make sure we have a purity in heart. And by staying faithful in Christ, we're allowing Christ to dwell within our hearts. And we can find teachings of this in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 15, of whom the hope, which reads, "Whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in the hearts by faith, that ye be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints the breadth, the length, and depth, and height, and to Christ, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that he may be filled with fullness of God." So we see that we have to keep our faith to keep ourselves with our purified hearts. And that's why we have to kind of urge ourselves, our fellow brothers and sisters, to actually be pure of heart, so that whenever actions they perceive to do, which goes to the heart first, will always be pure in action. And that's why I would like to put forth the invitation by reading this verse to you. For those who are not members of the body of Christ, which is in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10. That if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord of Jesus, and thou shalt believe within all thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, that thou shalt be saved. For with the heart of man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, and you have heard the gospel, and you believe what you've heard, you studied, and you decide to repent, confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and are baptized in water river baptism, and you want to remain faithful in God, I ask that you please come forward as we stand and sing your response and invitation.